Good for you. That's fantastic. But you be in the business a while, you're going to have deals fall out of escrow. The odds are be between 10 and 20% of them will fall out. So you want to get deals into escrow, but you don't have complete control over when the buyer decides to actually buy the house. You might say, well, I'm going to work 20 buyers at once, but I'll always have one going in. Well, good, but you understand there's still a point here. But if your staff, if you had enough new contacts, you understand, if you had enough new contacts, you would be getting enough appointments, you'd be getting enough new buyers and getting enough listings, you understand? The key would be contacts. But you could do something about that on any given day. You could go, I don't have any new contacts, I don't even know who to call. Go out to a mall and wear a little John Hall badge and walk up to people. You could do something about it every day. You could do something about it every day. And if you do that thing that you could do something about every day, you'll have plenty of business. Fail to do it, you won't have enough business. When you see people leaving the business, it is not because of market conditions. That looks like the reason. That is not the reason. When you see people leaving the business, the reason they left the business, just as one, they didn't have enough customers. Period. End of conversation. They didn't have enough customers. That's something that you can do something about that. See, if you wait until you don't have any deals, any customers, you don't have anything going to go, I got to get something going. Okay, but before you get any money, it's going to be between 60 and 90 days from the time you start doing something about it. So you can see that you'd always, if you wanted a continuous stream of income, you'd always have to be doing something about it, which would be the contacts part. Does that make sense? Did I get, I forget whose question I was answering, but I sure liked my answer. Anything. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry.
No, she's mad. They're not mad at you. They threw her off. She was mad a little bit. She had kind of a pitchy, like,
We'll talk later. I just did a webinar with First Place.
One Park Place,
yeah. And they do your website, and so...
They don't do my website. They're my IDX provider.
Exactly.
That's not the same thing.
I agree.
Okay.
Because when you're actually featured on the see examples of our websites, they actually have yours.
Say it again.
You're featured on their website.
I was their first customer in Arizona.
Exactly. Yeah. So my question to you is, do you like them, and how have you used them to be?
I don't like them. I love them. Because I'm so happy with One Park Place, I was able to terminate my relationship with Superlative, who had been driving me crazy for years, where no matter what I asked for, it was apparently tossed into a trash bin, to where I could apparently go back 2, 3, 4 times asking for it over and over. And finally, every time in exasperation, I would go to my salesman, Brian Ford, who would then route it to the president of the company, who would then tell that department, would you please fix this hammer? And I decided about 90 days ago I was never going to do that again, that I was going to stop pulling rank. I was going to go on regular channels if it wasn't fixed. And the last request I made, 30 days later, nothing had been done after my second request. So I moved my no-hassle listing site away from them. I had the ability to point it. But by the time I told them I've moved it, it's gone. I mean, it was gone. I took my four zip code sites and just moved them all, lock, stock, and barrel. And I didn't need them anymore because the new... the IDX thing I have with One Park Place, it is not an FTP feed like the Superlative site feed was going to Jim. It's the new Reds feed. And it's a better deal. I didn't ever need to go back to, I could personally replicate. Like, one of the things I love about One Park Place, and to my knowledge, they're the only, if there's another company that has this available, I don't know about them in Arizona. I have the ability do a custom search and save the link and embed it on my site. For example, if you go to No Hassle Listing and click on Search Properties, and click on the Properties by City, and click down those are all searches that I personally did and had my web guy embed there. So I might have one place look at properties in Chandler, and I've taken 3 John Hall offices for Chandler listings and looked them into that. And I can do that kind of custom search, so someone can click on Chandler and for me, and I can make that search myself or change it. So it's called the search wizard or something like that. You can make a custom search and then save that link, and it's constantly updating. It's not like a buyer link from Artemis. It's a link that doesn't expire because the link itself starts the script. The script won't expire. So it's very cool content. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm about to take classes on it, and my website's there. MarcyCarwood.com.
You'll probably all want to buy a house somewhere. You won't find a more nice group of people that want to buy their houses. Did I get your question?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Question for you. Dealing with buyers, what do you think about buyers who like to lowball properties with a large amount of money, like say 30% of the asking price or something like that?
I think they're investors. That's what I think. I think that investors need to buy a house 30% under market if they're going to buy it all. I think for individual homeowners who also want the luxury of, I love this house, you got a problem. Because do I think an investor needs to be able to buy a house 30% of the market to buy it all? Yeah, I do. Would I work with them? No, I wouldn't. Sell the house for them, but I don't want to waste my time on the procurement end of it. I'm in the retail business, not the wholesale business. But would I work with a buyer, or let one of my agents work with a buyer who wants to continually make low offers that won't be accepted? Who also, see, you have an issue here, who also, they have to like the house. See, if somebody said, I'll buy any house, 30% of the market. Any, I don't need to see it. It's 30% of the market, I'll take it. How do you find them to live with that? That's an investment. Buyer says, I want the lowest possible price for a house like that. I'm good with that. But combining the two, I want to love it, and then I want to write an offer 30% below market, I'm going to have a nice day. I won't waste my time. Because, you see, it's different if you say, right now, if I tell you most of the houses selling are below 350, so you know, smart name, below 350, and they're the bank-owned or short sales. That's the bulk of the stuff selling, that bank-owned stuff. Now, one of the things that's interesting about most, not all, most of the bank-owned property selling, it's actually fascinating. It's like 2005 all over again. Most of the bank-owned stuff selling is selling well above the list price. Like it's listed for 170, only you can't buy it for 170 because they're getting multiple offers. It's selling for 200, 205, 210. You think that's just like 2000 all over again with multiple offers. They're coming to market. So part of it is the public's perception, well, if it's bank-owned, it's a deal. It's an amazing, this doesn't happen, this always have to be true, but it's an amazing deal. So they're getting the prices up. So are there bargains? Yes, but for an investor, like out in Queen Creek, there are investor groups that are looking to buy properties at 30% under, not market, under the cost of the land and what it would cost to build the house today. Their criteria is 30% under that, and they're buying them. But they're not going, oh, I don't like the floor plan. They don't even care about the floor plan. It's the dollar, the numbers work. So when you combine the two, it's where it becomes crazy. Your buyer is someone you can go, if I take these people out for the next few hours, I can sell my house. If I take them out for the next few days, I can sell my house. But you have somebody who's, well, no, I got all the time in the world. If I find something this month that's a smoking deal, if I find something next month that's a smoking deal. It would be preferable to me to go home and watch television. Just literally go screw you, I got stuff really important, I gotta go, and go home and watch TV. It will be more productive.